Now let's continue on with the Beatitudes in Matthew, the fifth chapter here. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And of course, then righteousness is God's way. His laws, his commandments, his character, everything right there. This becomes really very important. For they shall be filled. What was the promise that Jesus gave? Remember those? Let's come back here to John, the sixth chapter. Remember those who came to Jesus after he fed the 5,000? Oh, they wanted to make him king. Man, this is good. This is entitlement. Man, we have food. Let's make him king, and he, every day he can do this for us. Okay. John 6 and verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Okay. The one who comes to me shall never hunger, and the one who believes in me shall never thirst at any time. Now that means this, that every day you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, and you are filled every day. Let's look at it this way. We have plenty of food to eat today, correct? We don't hunger and we don't thirst. We have food, and if we want it, we've got more than we need. And we've got water. So it doesn't mean that once you get some knowledge of God, then you don't have to do anything after that, see? You do. You have to study. You have to grow. You have to grow in grace and knowledge, see? So it doesn't mean that. Let's come back here to the book of Psalms. We'll look at several Psalms here now. Come back here to Psalm 45. Psalm 45. There we go. Okay. Psalm 45. Let's begin right here in verse 1. My heart overflows with a goodly matter. I will speak of my works to the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are more excellent than the children of men. Now notice, you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. You're looking to God for his character, for his love, for his truth, for his laws, and everything that he has. Okay? Grace is poured out upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Now, this is talking about Christ personally. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, and your glory and your majesty. Ride victoriously in your majesty in behalf of truth and meekness and righteousness. And all of these are characteristics of God. Let your right hand teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under you. Your throne, O God, now this is said of Jesus, is forever. A scepter of justice or a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Now notice how you are to seek after righteousness. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, and all the way through the Bible, you have two, not three, not one, but two, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. All right? Now, we're going to see some Psalms looking at the attitude that we need to have. And we all need to understand this. Never is there a time in our short physical lives that we will ever come to a point of knowing everything. Because everything that is in the Bible, the scriptures, comes from the mind of God. And so therefore there are so many things interwoven on top of many different things at the same time that you can never ever come to a point like you would with a textbook in school. And you read it and you study it, you get done, you pass with it, and you know everything that is there. You can never say that of the scriptures. Okay? Now, let's come back here to Psalm 42. Okay? Here's how we satisfy the thirst and we satisfy the hunger. Psalm 42. Notice this attitude. All right? As the heart pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after you, O God. Now, this reminds me of when you watch any of these documentaries on Africa or the plains or something like this, and especially when there are drought conditions, and you have the elephants, you have the zebras, you have, you know, the hippopotamus in the water, in the mud, and you have all the animals coming to drink, okay? And then it gets down to where there's hardly anything left, and the poor hippopotamus are getting stuck in the mud. And then God sends the rain. Now it starts out months ahead, and it flows south. It's the only river in the world that flows south and never goes to the ocean. And it comes to the Tunguska Plains, and it fills it like a lake with water for mile after mile after mile after mile. And the documentary showed a herd of desert elephants that they walk through literally, if I could use the word, hell, heat, wind, sand, no water. They lost a couple of the little calves. They died on the way. But when they got there and they got to the water, it showed how they drank the water and got in there and swimmed and rolled over and all of this, and all the deer and all the zebra, and, you know, they all had plenty of water. So this gives you a good picture of what it means. My soul pants after you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? See, that's the promise we've been given, right? The meek shall inherit the earth. The poor of spirit, they will see God. Okay? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say all the day, where is your God? I remember these things. I pour out my soul within me to God. For I used to go along with the multitude. I led them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, a multitude keeping the feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why do you get depressed? Why do you let these things come upon you and mourn within me? Here's the answer. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the salvation of his countenance. So that's how we need to approach it. All right, let's come here to Psalm 63. There are three particular psalms that have some really good things on how to approach God. Now, this is what we will say, what we're studying here right now, we could say is the cure for the lukewarm Laodiceans. Get yourself going this way, okay? Verse 1, Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I will seek you. And what did Jesus say we are to do? Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you, right? My soul thirsts for you. Now how? This is the cure for the Laodiceans. If you're lukewarm and you're lazy and haven't done what you know you need to do, then get on your knees and read these psalms and let that help you come out of it, see? My flesh longs for you, because remember, in God we live and move and have our being. As in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. So just think of yourself out on this desert. Your canteen has run dry. It's 110 degrees. You're completely out of water. And every time you look ahead, you see a lake. And you struggle to get there and come over the sand dune and look at it, and it was a mirage. You need the real water of God. OK? Okay? Verse 2, to see your power and your glory. Now, David added this, as I have seen you in the sanctuary. Now, that's quite a thing to understand, see. That's something none of us can have yet, but we will have it. But when he brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, the tabernacle was up in Gibeon. So he brought it to his house, had a special room built for it, and put a small tent in there, and put the Ark of the Covenant inside that tent. Then he had Asaph and the other priest manage it. And he would come there and bring his psalms, give them to the priest. Even David's psalms had to be approved by the priests. So when he was there, he must have seen some kind of outline of God in the sanctuary, because there was a thin veil that came down in front of it, see. And so this gives us a clue of the relationship that he had with God. Verse 3, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands to your name. Notice the zeal. Notice the longing. Okay? Verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches. You know, this is true. One of the times that you really come to understand more about God is when you wake up at night and you can't sleep. You lay there and you pray, or you toss and turn, or maybe you even get up and go pray, see? Because God deals with us at night sometimes. And sometimes the most important things in our lives happen at that time. So this is what David is referring to. Notice verse 7, because you have been my help, therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows hard after you. Your right hand upholds me. So this is the attitude that we need to have. Now let's look at the third psalm that comes along with this. And this is Psalm 84. Psalm 84. A few pages over, we'll get there. Okay, Psalm 84. Now, we even have a hymn based on this one. Verse 1, how lovely are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Now, what's it going to be like? Now, think of this. Key in your margin there, Revelation 21 and 22. New Jerusalem. That's where we're going to be. Think what it's going to be like in New Jerusalem. Especially when you remember Jesus said, if I go away, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come and bring you to myself. Okay? Now think of what Jesus is going to prepare. All right? Now think on this. It's going to be a new Jerusalem. And Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest, all the prophets. And he did no miracles. But the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. So what God has for us is really something. Verse 2, my soul longs, yea, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. This is the attitude that we need. See, we're going to face a lot of tough times, and this is going to give us the strength to face them. Yea, even the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Now think of that, right at the top of the temple there. Bird's nest, okay? Look at this one, verse 4. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Selah. Now notice what happens with this attitude, see? Blessed is the man whose strength is in you rather than in himself. Your ways are in their hearts. who passing through the valley of weeping make it a place of springs, yea, the early rain also clothes it with blessings. They go forth from strength to strength, every one of them appearing in Zion before God. This is like saying, okay, let's have the saints on review so we all come marching by the throne of God. Can you imagine that? O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. So those three psalms combined together show how we need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, let's look at some other things concerning righteousness. Just put this in your notes. Here's one to remember. Psalm 119, 119, and verse 172. All your commandments are righteousness. Now, you can remember and use that for a lot of things, especially for some of your Protestant friends who say, oh, that hateful law. Well, don't get mad at them. Just tell them about Psalm 19, where it says it's perfect. How can it be hateful if it's perfect? You say God is a God of love? Yes. You say God is a God of righteousness? Yes. Well, why would he give a law that's hateful? See? Okay. All right. Let's continue on here. Let's come here to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 3. Boy, I tell you, poor Jeremiah, he had a tough assignment. He even complained to God about it a couple of times, you know. And God told him, don't worry, I'm with you. Okay, let's pick it up here, Jeremiah 3 and verse 21. Jeremiah 3 and verse 21. It also shows us how we can recover from troubles and difficulties. Now, this was when things were really going bad in Judah. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications for the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way. They have forgotten the Lord their God. And I was thinking of that and watching this thing with the terror attack in Boston. And then they all came out with a new slogan, Boston Strong, Boston Strong. And I was thinking, why don't they understand they have to be strong in the Lord? So instead of Boston Strong, it should be God Strong, Christ Strong, okay? Verse 22, return, O backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come to you, for you are the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the high hills. This is they come to their understanding. You're not going to do it your way. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. That's what they have to look to. The shameful thing has eaten up the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame and our confusion covers us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God. We and our fathers from our youth even to this day and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Quite a thing. That's what's happened with America. I was going through a booklet which was showing what happened when, you know, the pilgrims landed in Massachusetts. The wind came along and pushed them north. They were supposed to come to Virginia. Surprise! They landed in Massachusetts. But what they did in praying and thanking God to be there. See, they had to leave England, go across the channel to Holland, and hopefully get a ship to come over to the, what they call it then at that time, the New World, the New Country. I don't think they called it America, at least to the colonies, whatever. Okay. And so when they got there, they dedicated themselves to God. Now, there were some among them who were Sabbath keepers, because Sabbath keepers were chased out of England. There were some who were Sunday keepers. Okay. So God says when you're in a situation like that, chapter 4 and verse 1, if you return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. See how God does it? And if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be removed. God was saying, okay, I'm going to send you away. I'm going to take you out of this land. There's going to be a lot of death, destruction, and slaughter in the meantime. Now here's what they needed to do, verse 2. And will swear, as the Lord lives, in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. Now that's how we need to approach God, see? Just think what would happen if the Protestants would repent to this point. Huh? Then the nation shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. All right, that's really quite a thing for them there, coming after the righteousness of God. All right, let's come back to the Psalms. Let's come to Psalm 4. Psalms have an awful lot to say about the righteousness of God. Psalm 4. I think it's interesting how the Psalms start out with Psalm 1. So let's go there first. Let's see the blessing that comes from following God in spite of what the world is doing. Blessed is the man, you want the blessing of God? Yes, indeed. Who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. What's going to happen? Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, and its leaf shall not wither, and all that he does shall prosper. Now that's juxtapositioned against the wicked. Now notice, verse 4, the wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Now notice the confidence that this brings us in starting out all the Psalms, and a confidence that we need to have, see? Now come to Psalm 4, and I like this, the way it begins. He starts out, answer me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. All the righteousness that we have comes from God. He gave me relief when I was in distress. That's what we need, right? Yes. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. So he says, answer me and hear. O sons of men, how long will my glory be put to shame? How long will you love delusions and seek after lies? Whoopee-doo, we sure have a lot of that today, don't we? Yes, indeed. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. Think on that. You have the Spirit of God. You have been set aside by God himself. See, God is dealing in our lives directly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Tremble and sin not. Consume with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Okay. There we go, God dealing with us in the night. Verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Now, what are the sacrifices of righteousness? The fruits of the Spirit, loving one another, loving God, keeping his commandments, all of those. And put your trust in the Lord. Now, let's come to, over here, Psalm 5. Yes, yes, yes. Verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Now stop and think about this. Is God a heart-knowing God? Yes, he is. That's what he's called in the New Testament. You know the hearts of men. God knows everything that goes on up here. Now what we produce out here for other people to see may not be what's going on up here. This is what conversion is all about. This is why there is repentance daily. This is why there's the washing of the water of the word, so that we can become converted and our minds can become changed and our minds can become righteous, see? consider my meditation. Stop and think about some of the thoughts you don't want God to know about. Okay? Well, he knows about it, but he's kind enough to reveal it so you can repent of it. Okay? Hearken to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. Notice how it's just reaching out to God. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayer to you and will look up. That's why. Pray every day. Pray every morning. Okay? For you are not a God that has pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. And boy, think about the way the society is today. Compare that verse. The boasters, opposite of being meek, shall not stand in your sight. You hate all the workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloody and deceitful man. But I, in the abundance of your loving kindness, I will come into your house. I will bow down in your fear toward your holy temple. And of course, that's what it is when we pray, right? Our prayers go right up to God. Lead me, O Lord. Now notice this. In your righteousness, we are to hunger and thirst after righteousness, and we will be filled. Because of my enemies, make your way straight before my face. For there is no truth in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Hold them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast out the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. Woo! Would that happen to Washington, D.C.? That would be something, wouldn't it? Well, I don't think we're going to see that. Verse 11. But let all who put their trust in you rejoice. Let them always shout for joy because you defend them. And let those who love your name exult. That means joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. Yes, God is going to watch over us. Take care of us, be with us, look after us. All right, let's look at just a couple of more psalms. And since because of the traffic we were delayed, we will make services just a wee bit shorter. Psalm 71. Here's a short psalm. Five verses. No, that's Psalm 70. Beg your pardon. We want Psalm 71. Okay. Here's what we are to do in these days in this time when we see evil on every side. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Now, if you're meek, if you're humble, if you're seeking after righteousness, if you're loving God and doing all these things, God will do it. Verse 2, deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Now think about how many things that you have had things come along that have gone right past you, that you have missed, and you're happy that you missed them, Clay. Incline your ear unto me and save me. Be my strong rock of refuge to which I may always go. Remember this. You sin, you have a guilty conscience, that's when you need to go to God and repent and have it cleaned up. Too many times we think, oh, well, I'll go to God as soon as I get squared around. Question, how are you going to get yourself squared around when you've sinned against God? See, it has to come from God to get you squared around. See? All right. Be my strong rock of refuge to which I may always go. You have commanded to save me. You are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and ruthless man. For you are my hope, O Lord God, my trust from my youth. So that's how we need to approach God. This is how we need to hunger and thirst after God's way. Okay, let's go ahead and call it the end for today. And we'll pick it up there next time with From Faith Unto Faith, number 3. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.